Bibles, turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter number 13. And if you would, just continue to pray for us and our church. I feel like God is working. I tell you, I preached a hard message last night on divorce. I preached on the qualifications of a pastor and a deacon. And oftentimes that topic is rather questioned and challenged to try to fit men's narrative rather than the Bible. And I tell you, we've had three new families start coming to our church since Christmas time. They've been really faithful. And I tell you, I had two different families come to me last night with tears in their eyes and say, "Preacher, we ain't living right, and we want to get it right." And I tell you, I just thank the Lord for it and what He's doing. And I told my wife on the way up here today, I said, sometimes the devil tries to tell you ain't making a difference. And to see God do some work and to see the spiritual growth. Tell you, it might not always happen. I've learned. I tell you, I don't know about you, and I don't know why I'm getting off on this. I better start my time before I forget. But I tell you, I think sometimes early in ministry, I had the image of having this big church and doing great things, and to see the spiritual side of it come to fruition is more to me than having 150 people in the sanctuary. And so I'm thankful for that. So what I want to look at today is a rather, I guess, interesting story. I'm sure we've all heard it many times before. This is a very strange time in the children of Israel's life as they are looking coming out of the book of Judges. And so we see Samuel come on the scene. But I'm interested in these few verses that I will look at, starting verse number 10 and read down towards the end of the chapter. It says, "And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, the end of offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, 'What hast thou done?' And Saul said, 'Because I saw that these people were scattered from me, that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together in Mishmash. Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself therefore and offered a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, 'Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be a captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." I just want to put a quick insert this before we finish reading. And I think sometimes when we read this thought of David being a man after God's own heart, I tell you, God didn't say that when he was a grown man. I tell you, young people, God said that when he was just a boy tending the sheep of his father. Tell you, we can all be a man after and a woman after God's own heart from a child. It says, "And Samuel rose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin, and Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men, and Saul and Jonathan his son, and the people that were present with them abode in Gibeah of Benjamin, but the Philistines encamped in Mishmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp of the Philistines in three companies. One company turned unto the way that leadeth to Orpah, unto the land of Shuah. And another company turned away to Beth Horon. And another company turned away to the border that looketh in the valley of Zeboim towards the wilderness." This is what I want to look at this evening. It says in verse number 19, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, 'Lest the Hebrews make them swords and spears.' But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his share and his cutler and his axe and his mattock. Yet they had a file for the mattock and for the cutler and for the fork and for the axe and to sharpen the goads. And it came to pass in the day of battles that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But with Saul and with Jonathan, his son, was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passage of Mishmash." I tell you, that's an interesting story. I think sometimes we might not understand the importance of what we just read. These people were in battle against the enemy, and yet they had no one to to make their swords. I want to preach on a few minutes this evening. Where are all the smiths? Lord, thank you for the day you've given us and all your blessings upon us. Thank you for your goodness and your grace and your word. I thank you, God, that you've given us the tools to be equipped unto battle. But I pray that you give us what we need to be able to uphold that which what's put in your word and allow us to encourage those that are around us. Pray you help us and touch us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. The first thing you notice this evening when you talk about smith, and I'm not sure how much you know about blade smithing. I tell you, I love to get into the facet of that. I like watching videos. I like looking and learning. I like the appearance of it, the technique of it. I like the outcome of it. I tell you, I love knives. I have collections of them, from little knives to big knives, and I think it's fascinating to learn about it. But I tell you, when you look at someone, it's a bold profession. They don't go around. I tell you, if you look at the men and even the ladies that uphold to that profession, a lot of times you see their hands and their backs and their arms, and you see the sweat on their brow, and you see the fact of why they appear. You see the leather that they wear to cover their bodies in order to keep from the fire. I tell you, it's a bold profession. I ask you this evening, and I tell you, and I don't mean this smartly, and I don't have all the answers, believe me or not, but when's the last time that we have been bold for the cause of Christ? I tell you, it's so easy. It's so easy to sit down, shut up, and not say nothing. But the truth is, we have a duty to share what God says. I'm not talking about being hateful. I'm not talking about shaming someone. I tell you, it's not my job to condemn anyone. It's my job to share what the scriptures say. When's the last time we've been bold? They're bold in their appearance. Tell you, you want to know why they knew that there wasn't no smiths? They didn't have no one looking like any smiths. Brother said it earlier. God called us to be a peculiar people. You know, that's the same word that he used for the children of Israel. And then we wonder why the preacher preaches on modesty, and we wonder why the preacher preaches on looking right and living right. I tell you, if you look at what the Israelites had to do, you would have said, man, they were in a bunch in a cult. They were in a cult, man. I tell you that, them Levites up there, I don't know what he thinks he's doing. God said he wants us different. I tell you, I tell our people all the time. I said, how are you supposed to show the love of God? How are you supposed to show the difference of the Bible? How are you supposed to show that they need what we have when we look and sound and talk just like them? How am I supposed to sell someone? And I tell you, and I'm not meaning this facetiously or smartly, and I'm not trying to demise the word of God, but we are salesmen for the cause of Christ. We are trying to give something to someone that they don't want. I tell you, how in the world are we supposed to sell the scriptures and the Bible and the goodness of God when we don't even like we like it? And I don't know how, I love your choir, preacher. I've had them up at my church several times. One of the reasons why I love the Little Ivy's choir is they worship. You see it on their faces. But I can't tell you how many churches I've been to choirs. Amazing grace, or I stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I tell you, that don't do nothing for me. That don't do nothing for me, brother. I tell you, how in the world am I supposed to tell someone about the grace of God if I don't even live it? How am I supposed to tell them about a dying hell if I don't even act like I believe in it? How am I supposed to save someone's soul and point them to Christ when I don't even shed tears and think it's real? They were bold in their appearance. Proverbs 28:1, it says, the wicked flee when no man pursue, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Philippians 1:20, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that is nothing, I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. They were bold in their appearance. They were bold in their attributes. I tell you, they had something to offer. And I don't mean this meanly, but what do you have to offer? And I know it's not about us. I know it's not about what we can do. And I tell you, if I wasn't up here preaching, God could have 100 men in my spot. I mean nothing in the grand scheme of things. But what do you have to offer that you're holding on to that could help somebody? I tell you, and I'm sure every preacher's felt this way. You ever do something that you don't even think matters? It's just, you know, you do your duty, right? But then you find out just how much it meant to somebody. And I'll tell you what I'm talking about. I have a lady in my church. She's 79. I've had a lot of death in my church. I've been there 18 months, and we've had 9 funerals. But I have a lady. She's 79 years old. Her name's Miss Mary. She's going through breast cancer treatments. So I just found out last week that it spread to her liver. A couple weeks ago, she had a birthday. Haven't seen her the last few weeks because of treatment. She's not feeling good. And I just wanted her to know that I wanted to wish her a happy birthday. I called her, and I got her voicemail, and I just told her, I said, Miss Mary, I want to tell you a happy birthday, and I loved you, and we missed you, and we're praying for you. Her daughter came Sunday with tears in her eyes and said, Preacher, you have no idea what that has done for my mama. When she gets down and discouraged and feels like no one cares, she listens to it. When she feels like it's hopeless and she can't go on, she listens to it. I tell you, I didn't mean nothing by it. Here's one. And I know this is a Monday afternoon. It's 4:00. But how crazy would it be to invite someone to church and you not even be there? Well, I just didn't feel good. I have too. It's crazy. Well, so-and-so invited me to church. Man, I haven't seen them in 3 weeks. You talk about what you can offer God. Preacher, I don't have nothing. You have your time. You have your presence. You have your speech. Are you bold in it? Are you bold in it? Well, I've been around people my whole life that I thought were the greatest Christians in the world. Then I grew up, got out in the world, began to talk to people, and they look at me and said, I didn't even know they went to church. I tell you, if we would poll your coworkers today, what would they say about you? How bold are you in your attributes? Acts 4:29, it says, And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I tell you, God has given us a way to come before his throne. I think we just don't even think he'll do it. It matters. I feel like when we pray sometimes, we're just doing it out of obligation. I feel like when we want God to step in and do something, that we just say, because we know we should, but we don't really believe it in our heart. Hey, how bold are you in your walk with God? How bold are you in your appearance? I tell you, I really don't care what people say about me. I've been called a Bible thumper. This past week, I was talking. Some people asked me what I thought about that. I guess it's a controversy. Ain't no controversy. I'm just reading what the Bible says about preachers and deacons being divorced and remarried. And I told them what I believed. I tell you, they attacked me. They attacked my family. They attacked my education. I had one guy, and listen, I'm King James all the way, but I had one guy said, stick with the English King James Bible. It's better than any college education every day. And I told him, I said, sir, well, it was written in Greek and Hebrew beforehand. Just because it didn't fit his opinion. I don't care. It don't matter. I had two of them block me on Facebook. Someone asked me that upset me. I said, no, I didn't need them on there anyways. It ain't no big deal. I've had people I truly care about, family members, have nothing to do with me. Nothing to do with me. They call me a hypocrite because they saw the change that God made in my life. I don't know how that's hypocritical. And yeah, there's times it hurts. There's times that I wish I could be the witness to them that I ought to be. But I'm living my life for God. I'm giving God my attributes, not everyone else. Listen, brother, I can't make everyone in my church happy. If I tried, I'd go bald. I'm already fat, and that ain't a good look. Amen. We see they're bold. We see they're blazing. I'll move on before I get in trouble. Amen. We'll see they're blazing. I tell you, that fire's hot. Everyone around those Smiths knows what they're doing. There ain't no doubt about it what's going on inside. Tell you, when's the last time the fire of God's been blazing in your life? Listen, when's the last time someone's came to church and said, I know what's going on? God's meeting with them people. When's the last time someone's been in your home or been out to a restaurant with you or been in the car with you? And instead of hearing cussing and carrying on and worldly music, they felt the presence of God. Oh, there's something different about him. There's something different about her. When's the last time someone picked up the phone devastated, brokenhearted, and instead of just being like, I understand, I'll pray for you, you actually had a difference about you. They could get some warmth. They could get some help. They could put their tools in the fire to get a little fixing. I tell you, them things are hot. You ever watch any videos on it? They're hot. I tell you, you wonder why? Because tools that are worth anything are always tried by fire. Fire. Listen, I've seen some hard times in my life. A lot of times here in Bible times, you would have mom and or daddies teach their sons. They would have trades, family trades, daddies to teach their sons. The faith I have today ain't mine. It's my daddy's. I watched my daddy go through a hard time. Go from making $100,000, $120,000 a year, taking care of a family of 12, to nothing. Losing homes, losing cars, going out to eat just to make sure we could have beans and rice on the table. Going out with clothes, sell everything you have just so we could put enough gas money in the truck. I asked him one day, I said, Daddy, he'd broken neck, broken back, fighting with workman's comp, fighting with surgeries and doctors. I'd watch him go out to the dump and try to pick up every piece of scrap metal he could find to go get a few dollars together so we could make it to church. I watched him cry and crawl in bed, not hardly being able to move afterwards. And as a 12, 13-year-old boy, I said, Daddy, why are you doing it? He said, Son, because when I can do what I can do, God can do what I can't. And I tell you, it took some time. But the faith of my daddy wore off on me. I came to a point in my life that said, if it's good enough for Daddy, it's good enough for me. Because I felt the fire in his life. I felt the fire in his family. I felt the fire. I tell you, anyone that knows my daddy, he loves the Lord. He's not no preacher. He's not no deacon. And if he'll tell you he grew up in sin, he got divorced and remarried, tattoos all over him. But you know what I watched him do? You know what I watched him do? I remember going to Brother Andy Wells' teen camp. Heat of summer. Y'all know what that's like down there. And I watched him wear long sleeve shirts because he didn't want any other boys seeing his tattoos because he didn't want to be the reason they went and got one. You talk about the faith. My daddy was trying to pass something down. My daddy was trying to show us something. My daddy was trying to say, listen, I know it's going to get hot, but it's worth the outcome of what we're trying to produce. We see it's blazing and they're sculpting. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man what I'm sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Listen, I don't want any pansies that's just going to be on my side telling me what I need to hear. I want people looking in my face when I'm wrong and say, you're wrong, and this is how you fix it. I'll give you an example about my life. Last August, I was a trucker, and I had someone run me off the road in a tanker truck. I flipped the truck, broke my neck. And they fired me over it. Didn't get no tickets. It wasn't my fault over it, but it's trucking. I had an opportunity to go work for another company out of town. I'd be gone Monday night, Tuesday night, come back Wednesday, be gone Thursday, Friday, come back Saturday, make plenty of money. I felt, well, man, I can still preach on Sundays and still preach on Wednesdays, still do my duties. I talked to Brother Paul Moss about it at Brother Jimbo Seaton's Jubilee last year, and he said, that's stupid. I said, excuse me? He said, how are you supposed to do what God's called you to do if you're never home? I said, man, this guy's something. But I tell you, I went home and I prayed about it and I knew he was right. I knew he was right. And I'm thankful for friends like that. I'm thankful for people that aren't just like, you know what? Yeah, that's good. You can do that. Tell you what would have happened? What would God have done? Listen, I watched God finally break through in revival in our church in August or in March. I've watched God grow spiritually this past few months. Would I even ever had been able to have that revival if I was over the road? Would I have even been able to be there for the different funerals that I've had the last 4 or 5 months? Would I have been able to do what God has called me to do? I tell you, we get so quick to get mad at people that don't go against what we want or what we desire. But I'm thankful for those people. I'm thankful for people that have enough boldness about them to correct me when I'm foolish. They're blazing their sculpting. I tell you, they're blazing in their speech. They knew exactly what you need, exactly what you're looking for, and they weren't afraid to tell you if you're wrong. Proverbs 8:7-8 says, from my mouth shall speak truth and wickedness and an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There's nothing forward or perverse in them. I tell you how. That's a heavy one. We're all guilty. We're all guilty of speaking out of terms. I told my wife, I said, I know what church hurt is like. I understand it. But I don't want my speech to be a reason to hurt someone. We're so quick. Because we know what the scripture says, we know this or that. We're so quick to give them our opinion instead of what God really says about something. I don't ever want what I have to say outshine what God has to say. Because nothing I can say would ever even equivalent to one verse in that Bible. We see they're bold, we see they're blazing. And lastly, and I'm got a couple more minutes. Having Smiths in the camp makes them battle ready. They faced a battle with no swords in the camp because they were relying to go to the enemy to get what they needed. Listen, Mom and Daddy, listen, young people. It would be a shame to be relying on this world to give you what you need and then end up in a battle from them and not be able to get it. And that's what happened to Israel. They were relying on being able to go to the Philistines to get their weapons. And then the battle turned against them. They're battle ready in their tools. 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye and stand fast in faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. God is expecting us to be equipped for this battle. 1 Corinthians talks about the weapons of our warfare not carnal, but mighty through God. I tell you, if you're looking at for the world for answers, if you're looking for philosophy or some type of therapist to tell you how you need to make it, I tell you, this is the tool you need right here. It doesn't matter what this world says. It matters what God says. They were battle ready in their temperament. I tell you, I think a lot of us lose fact of being ready for the battle. You have to have patience. You have to know when to strike. You have to know when to stand. You have to know when to hold. I tell you, too many times we're sitting here so impatient for the things of God that we get so focused on our own self. We get so focused on what we want to do. We get so focused on how slowly it's moving. We get so focused on God's not moving on our time. And we forget that we have to be temperate when it comes to the things of God. I tell you, I hope for my kids I'm the smith they need. Me and my wife were talking about that on the way up here. I hope to God my kids serve Him. I hope they never turn back on them. But in order to point them that way, I'm going to have to be the smith that God wants me to be. We wonder why young people are so quick to leave. And listen, I'm not trying to be mean. I grew up in church. I saw everyone I ever grew up with turn away from God. You know what I saw as a young person? Hypocritical parents. And then we wonder why God is letting our children leave. But in reality, we push them out the door by our own actions. Preacher.
I mean, I've been preaching through the book of Daniel for several years now in the church, and I'm just consumed with it. And so if you'll bear with me,